What does it feel like when your child just stops talking? How does it impact you, your work, your life, and your child's life as well? Leslie Saar has found answers to some of those questions. She is an acclaimed artist who transformed her family's struggles with autism into something positive. She has used the experience as the basis for new and innovative approaches to her art. Here's Leslie's conversation with Farai.
Your daughter Geneva was born in 1991. When did you notice that she had a different way of approaching the world than other kids her age?
Well, I guess the first thing that I suppose should have been a clue, but in the 90s it wasn't that prevalent, was you could make a lot of racket, like behind her, and she wouldn't turn around. She would be so engrossed in what she was doing, you know. But her language seemed normal. She was starting to say words at 6 months and 9 months and putting like three-word sentences together at 1 year. But when she was 18 months old, she stopped learning new words and then a few months later stopped using the words she knew. So by the age of two, she just wasn't speaking at all. Her language disappeared. So when I talked to the our doctor, family doctor, that was just like flags going up everywhere. It's not normal to have language and lose it. So since she was very shortly after that diagnosed with autism at the age of two.
So when the doctors told you that your daughter had autism, fill in the blanks for me. Tell me what they told you to expect.
Well, that was, I think, the most difficult part. And I have to say, I probably cried every day for like 2 years. Not the way I felt about my child, but every time I had to take her for MRIs and these tests and diagnoses, just the kind of negativity and kind of fear that was inspired from what the experts said to me.
Did it impact you as an artist?
Well, it did pretty much early on because I started questioning notions of normalcy, like what was and wasn't normal, and you know what society thinks is normal, and those like value judgments that are placed on it. And I did a series called Anomalies, where I did portraits of existing people that were outside of the realm of normalcy, either physically or mentally, neurologically, as in the case of my autistic daughter.
Did you think about or experiment with how language affected your artwork?
Well, yes, my most recent series, which are these pen and ink drawings with photographs that I've taken, I just thought, well, I would like to not do figurative stuff and not anything political or kind of social commentary, but just something that's more free and using graphics and pen and ink kind of as a language to just sort of explore another world. So I was very influenced by her in my most recent series.
She actually stopped talking a second time. How old was she and how did that happen?
Yeah, that was strange. She was maybe 13, just like maybe the second semester of middle school. And she was into her perseveration, which is a common thing autistic kids do. They'll repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Or she was talking to her imaginary friends nonstop. And my husband, I'm sure he regrets it, but he took a timer and he set it to 5 minutes. And he said, could you just stop talking for 5 minutes? And she stopped talking for a year and a half. And I don't know if that was why or if that implanted the idea or if it was just a control thing. Because she's really into control, but she did not say one word, even by herself. You'd like kind of spy on her. She'd make noises, but not one word. Just the incredible discipline of that. And
that must have been heartbreaking.
Was just like, is this going to happen? Is this going to be like this forever? She's just going to never start talking again? Because she didn't really start talking again until she was 7 years old.
So between 7 and 13, she was talking,
mm-hmm.
and then?
Yeah, for a year and a half. So she would just sit in class, just like write things out, her answers. And she did well scholastically. She would sign and write things out. And, you know, that's how she communicated, just nonverbal totally, just by choice. And you would ask her, why have you stopped talking? And she'd say something like, I am the silent monk or some cryptic, you know, thing. It was just very mysterious. And then one morning I came, she was sitting at the table for breakfast, and she said, hi, dear. I just, like, tears came streaming down just for this nonsensical reason that she stopped talking. She all of a sudden started talking again. So that was kind of an epiphany that let me realize that these things are stages that she's going through and, you know, just to kind of have faith and hope that it will change.
You brought in some pictures of your daughter, and she's a very beautiful, striking young lady. She's 16 now.
Oh.
What's her life like?
She's enrolled in public school, and she's in a special day program, which is diploma bound. And she takes a few mainstream classes like computer animation. And, you know, she goes to school and sometimes she plans things she wants to do afterwards. And she comes home, she's on her computer. She has all of these imaginary friends and children, and she deals with her, like, imaginary world. And she's very self-sufficient. She fixes all of her own meals. She won't let me cook for her, so she makes her dinners. And you know, very – schedule is very important to her, you know, that kind of routine. Every Saturday I have to take her to the same Chinese restaurant for lunch. And those kinds of things, by letting her – have those things. I mean, it's not terribly exciting for me to go to the same Chinese restaurant every Saturday, but that lets her cope with, I think, the chaos that the world must seem to her because of her perception and the fact that she's different and it's so difficult for her socially to just to deal, that I kind of let her have those things. I give her those things. So that she definitely has routines like that.
In radio, you have this concept of riding the levels. So, you know, if someone's voice gets really loud, you turn things down a bit, and if, you know, vice versa. And it sounds to me like autism, you, in some ways, you can't ride the levels. Everything is just coming at you at once.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I've heard it described by people who are autistic and articulate that, you know, you could be in a restaurant and the person you're talking to, their voice is just as loud or as important as the dishes clanging and the people talking in the corner or a siren going by. And a lot of times it sounds like just static, like you're in between two radio stations. And I remember when she was quite young, it was hard to take her out in the sun. The light was too much, or just certain places are just too noisy for her. So a lot of the odd behavior is a reaction to the perception.
Has being part of a family of artists helped you in any way envision a life for her that has hope?
Yes, definitely. I think that's a good question. Another thing she got into doing was, I thought this was a Halloween costume. It was like army fatigues and an army green army jacket and like a little cap. She looked like Che, you know, like a Cuban revolutionist. And I was kind of accepting, but I was so afraid of what everyone, what kind of mother would let her daughter dress like Che for 6 months? You start worrying about what other people are thinking about you. And luckily my husband is the same. He's from Iceland and a little bit kind of odd and different himself. So at least both of us are from that thinking that we don't need to ramrod her into being normal to appreciate. And it's kind of amusing and funny, the odd things she does to us.
But there are a lot of families who don't have the resources that you have, including probably emotionally. What kind of advice would you give them for dealing with their child?
I try to read something that they are initiating to use that as to educate them. For instance, my daughter liked computers. So we kind of like broke down and got her this computer thinking she might destroy it in one day and there goes a ton of money, you know. But you kind of have to take some risks sometimes and kind of give them a chance, because they're going to show you the way that they're best capable of learning.
Leslie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
For Ajadeya, talking with Leslie Saar. Leslie is a visual artist who lives in Los Angeles. Works inspired by her daughter Geneva can be seen at the Walter Maceo Gallery in Santa Monica, California.